100 Word Stories.
Hi there. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I don't know what to say at this point. Weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with the stories. Animal was the topic this week, and we got some stories. Isn't that amazing, huh? It's amazing that you folks get these topics and get inspired by them and make the effort to write and record and send them in. I am impressed by your perseverance, your creativity, your persistence, your patience, your plums. How about I just read a list of all the people who sent them in? Jeffrey, Charlie, Richard, Lizzie, Serendipity, Tom, Norval Joe, Muncie, Tura, I didn't say that right, Tura, and Planet Z. Those of you I didn't read out, I miss you. Come back. Come back. No, I'm not going to beg. How about we just hear the stories before I say something stupid or insensitive or mean or ugly, okay? Here we go.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 532 on the topic of animal. My first story is called Dem Bones. Cal spotted the mound of dirt first. There it is! He pointed for the benefit of Rose and Shell. They all turned 14 within a few weeks of one another and were inseparable that summer. Seems like a weird place to bury treasure, Rose observed. What else could it be? Said Shell. Let's start digging. The three threw themselves into shovel work. They ignored signs of animal activity, but they couldn't ignore the growing stench from the hole. When Cal uncovered a hand, all three dropped their shovels and ran. They had found buried treasure, just not the kind they expected. And my second story is called Animal Spirits. John Maynard Keynes used the phrase animal spirits to describe the instinctual rather than mathematical behavior that underlies many decisions. Individually, these decisions may be wise or unwise, but it is only collectively through which true disasters arise. From tulip mania in the 17th century, to 19th century bank runs, to asset price bubbles today, large numbers of uninformed people making emotional decisions rarely turns out well. In light of this, one has to question the wisdom of universal suffrage. That's before seeing this year's presidential candidates. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Sam Torrent was an animal. He had a penchant for focused skullduggery, or shall we say, skullbuggery. As the master of arms for the throbbing Gristle Motorcycle Club, Torrent was the toughest, most psychotic and aberrant of the members. He once hacked off a rival's head and copulated with the empty eye socket of the dead enemy of a rival biker club. At home, he was like no other sadistic person. He organized hunting clubs, managed dog fights, made meth, and coached peewee football teams. He was never prosecuted for his boogery, as all the witnesses disappeared before the trial. Number 2. One of my favorite animals, beside the dog, giraffe, elephant, cat, is the rhino. Rhinos have gumption and personality. Anyone who has ever hung out with a rhino or group of rhinos will quickly learn that they are very generous and thoughtful. They are happy to share their mud holes, and happy to give you a boost if you catch yourself stuck in hole. At 5,000 pounds, they are pretty agile, unlike my cousin Billy. Again, if you ever have the opportunity to communicate with one of these magnificent mammals, let them know straight away you mean them no harm.
Good morning, everyone. Richard here. And I do think maybe I should say something about Brexit, being a Brit myself, but to be quite honest, I think politics should be kept out of politics, and anything else for that matter, so I'm not going to. Instead, I have some stories for you, all based on the topic of whatever the topic was, animal. This first one is called Tricked. The creature leapt gleefully out of the cave, leaving Boggins relieved and alone, and still in possession of his gold ring. Before the hobbit could come entirely to his senses, a terrifying sound echoed through the forest outside, the roar of an enraged dragon, followed by an animal howl of pain. He listened in terror and waited. It seemed hours before the dragon's snuffling and grunts finally disappeared into the distance, and to be absolutely sure, Boggins counted to 100 before creeping from the cave. All was still, apart from his heart, as he stealthily crept through the undergrowth. And my second story is called Animal Magnetism. I'm told that I have animal magnetism, and trust me, it's really not all it's cracked up to be. I can't walk down the street without every passing dog being attracted to my legs. Cats have to be peeled off my lap, and rabbits physically restrained from jumping into my arms. That's not the worst of it. I once made the mistake of visiting the zoo. There are few things more terrifying than seeing the vast bulk of an elephant being irresistibly dragged towards you against its will. Although a projectile meerkat in the groin is pretty unpleasant too. And my final story this week is simply entitled Animal. Animal was always my favourite Muppet. Not exactly a popular choice, I know, but everyone liked Kermit and Miss Piggy. They were just a little bit too mainstream for me. He reminded me of Keith Moon, and I often imagined him heading back to his dressing room, smashing the place up and throwing a TV out of the window, Kermit waving his stick-like green arms around in consternation, desperately trying to calm him down. What they don't tell you is that the current animal is just a puppet. The original died in 1989 from a drug overdose. And that's all I have time for this week, and probably all you have time for too. So until next time, goodbye.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. My friend, I've killed Mrs. Squirrel. Pam looked at the talking squirrel in shock, but decided to play along. Where did you bury her? I didn't. I put her up on the wall. What? I'll show you. Mrs. Squirrel's head was indeed mounted above the mantelpiece. There was a problem, said Mr. Squirrel. Only one. The biggest one was that I drank from this bottle. I was thirsty. The label read, Back to Nature. I never thought it would actually turn me into an animal. Pam shook her head. That damned snake oil salesman! We will get the antidote from him. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. I know, when you're afraid. I can sense your fear and that reluctance you try so hard to hide. It's almost as if I have a sixth sense. One that is attuned to your fear and knows when you are feeling at your weakest. And believe me, it's never let me down yet. So you can hide in the crowd, put on your act of bravado, and seek shelter amongst those who are stronger, but I will always sniff you out and hunt you down. Because, no matter what you do, I can smell your fear. It's animal instinct.
Hello, night people. Tom here. I've got a story for you this evening. It's called Animal Crackers. It happens from time to time that the story is a story about writing a story. My personal prime directive is, whatever pops into my head first, that's what I write about. This normally works well, but this week, the first thing that popped into my head was Animal Crackers. If that wasn't sad enough, it came with a singing and dancing Shirley Temple. Animal Crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits loop-de-loop, gosh oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. You get the drift. Height of the depression. Sometimes silly is the only cure for sorrow. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are. Oh yeah, there's a footnote. Guy who wrote this song also wrote Tea for Two and Swanee. Irving Caesar. And really, good night.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 532 with a prompt of animal. Here's my story. Well, even still, you don't have to get along to work together if you have a common cause, Mandy said. I mean, this polecat doesn't sound like a very nice person. Cherry Cola laughed. Yeah, not a nice person. Polecat is an animal. She doesn't care about anyone but herself.
Well, what does that make you, Cherry? Mickey asked. Did you care what happened to me when you left me with Team Horse Feathers?
That's not fair, Mickey. Cherry reached her hand toward him. You know I had no choice.
Mickey shrugged.
I guess you're right. Deep down, we're all animals.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Greetings, Hans. Munzee here, nicknaming you Hans, and bringing you a story once more, as I am so often wont to do. Let's have at it. Led Zeppelin, by Christopher Monroe. What's the lead singer of Led Zeppelin? Not who. Obviously I know who he is. I'm familiar with the band. By this point, I suspect everyone knows who Led Zeppelin are. Rather, what? I mean, he's vegetable, obviously. The man is literally named plant. And, similarly, he's mineral. He both defines and embodies the very nature of rock. But also, I would contend that, judging by his mane and the sounds he makes, he's some kind of wild animal. In this sense, he is animal, vegetable, and mineral, and as such, the best choice for a game of 20 questions. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. That's me done for another week, Hans. Until next week, I bid you fond farewell.
Tura Brazoino here with a story on the subject, animal. The great Professor Hegelbaum planned an encyclopedic work describing all the animals of the world. He soon realized that the task was too gigantic and limited his attention to sea animals. This being still too overwhelming, he decided to make his mark with an exhaustive inventory of the echinoderms. But they proved too varied and numerous, and he settled on classifying the crinoids, upon which he was the world's expert. Fearing that even this would take more years than he might expect, he at last published the monograph that defines Hegelbaum's legacy, Some Lesser Crinoids of the Northwest Indonesian Littoral.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
It's just an animal, they say. You're just an animal, I say back. They just don't understand. They never understand. You don't own a pet. They own you. Or those who mean well, but here have a puppy, they say. Here have a kitten, they say. It doesn't work like that. What if you lost your son or daughter or mother or father? Here, have a baby, you say. Imagine the shock. Someone handing you a baby at the visitation or the funeral. You can give it their name. It's just an animal, after all. They just don't understand.
Ah, and there you have it, a whole bunch of stories about the topic animal. Next topic is wings. We had feathers, we had animal, now we have wings. What can you say? You could have had a bird trilogy. One a day until the day I die.com. There's all kinds of social media and this and that. If you want to share, share. If you don't want to share, don't. There's a comment section. I'm thinking about closing the comment section. I mean, if you're not going to be saying, hey, I like this one. Hey, you did a good job to some folks. What's the point now? Why beg? Why ask? And all it does is collect up spam. You know, it throttles the server. So, what do you think I should do? What would it take to get you to comment? Leave a comment! Or just put in the notes of whatever, or record it if you're not feeling like typing, or I don't know, you want to give me a call? Whatever. But thank you all for being a part of this, the weekly challenge, the podcast, whatever, over 11 years of these stories. And there are going to be more tomorrow and the day after and all that. So happy Independence Day to all of you Americans. Belated Canada Day to the Canadians and the rest of you. Just pick out your Bastilles and whatever. And as always, keep it brief.